morning, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It is the election night of free speech. So I am recording this 1 hour before showtime, but what I'm going to use is last night's hour two coverage, which was recorded, what was it, between, I guess, what, 10 and 11 Central Time? So it's a discussion between Jeremy and myself and Paul Stevenson. We already knew that Trump had won the election, and so that was a given. And it took a few hours after that before the media came out and named Trump as the victor or whatever, called the election. But we already knew what was going on. So we had a discussion. I think it's a good discussion, and that's what I'm going to play for you, because you probably, unless you dove into the archives just now, you probably would miss it, and it's a good discussion. And so without further ado, please enjoy.
Okay, we may be going into the second hour.
It's laughing under the sun.
Thank you, Patrick, for singing that, because I was expecting a bumper, and we got your voice in replace of that.
Yeah. Hey,
I think we're on the air.
Duke. We lost Dr. Duke. If I can get Mark Dankoff, you want to bring him on?
Mark Dankoff? Yeah.
No. He said he's wiped out after a long day. Okay.
So, Julie, are we in the second hour? Send me a text if we are. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org and smash the donate. Send the much-needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in that debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719. And a very chipper, Julie, is standing by to take your money. If you enjoy these broadcasts and this range of freedom of speech, and the different hosts that offer you different points of view, please contribute and keep this network going. And this is the second hour of the Patrick and Jeremy Show, joined by Paul Stevenson. We had David Duke in the last hour. If you want to, check out the archives and enjoy that content. So we're talking about the election, and Trump and Trump's motivation. And why does any aspect of Jewish power prefer Trump? We highlighted some clips of the debate between Ben Shapiro and Sam Harris, moderated by Barry Weiss. And we did some comment on that. Paul Stevenson, we haven't heard from you. Would you like to put in your 2 cents worth on Ben Shapiro's opening statements in this debate as to why he supports Trump?
I'm trying to remember. Now, listen. Not everything that Ben Shapiro said and that I disagree with. I mean, I can't remember everything, but there's some things that were reasonably coherent there. And if you listen to him over the years on certain things, I don't disagree with certain things that he says when it comes to free speech. But I know where his loyalties lie, and that manifested itself since October 7th. And you saw that with Candace Owens, and you saw the complete hypocrisy when it comes to free speech, because he was one of the cheerleaders for clamping down and supporting the restrictions on free speech in college campuses. Glenn Greenwald spoke a lot about this. I think we failed to talk enough about it. And it's the same over here. The same kind of media over here that's constantly making a career out of bashing, green-haired social justice warriors and plenty of people like that on YouTube as well. They didn't say anything over here. They did not one comment about that bill that was brought through, which is essentially when the college campuses became part of Israel, and the United States police force or whatever was policing that, it may as well have just been an extension of Israel. And they didn't say anything. And Ben Shapiro exposed himself where his true loyalties lie. And that hypocrisy was seen right across the spectrum of what would be called right-wing and normally, supporting free speech. And I mean, a guy like Douglas Murray over here, for example, is a perfect example. He's a director of the Free Speech Union over here. Not a word about all that after October 7th and that whole situation over there in the colleges. So it's not that I disagree with everything he says, but, his loyalties are very much with Israel. And, again, and it's the same over here. Anytime you have a victory in the culture war, for example, Orban in Hungary, or to a certain extent, Italy, anybody who's for family values, anybody who's in quotes conservative, like David was saying, they've hijacked the so-called conservative movement. They're always supporters of Israel. So, same over here with Tommy Robinson, who people who describe themselves as grassroots people on the street, real people who don't want immigration and too much Islam, but it's very Islamic focused, and it's very Islamic focused for a reason, because the media is controlled by Zionists and every Muslim is demonized. That's where Shapiro's loyalties lie. And, you know, I'm sure the amount of money that goes into Trump's campaign, I would say the vast majority is coming from Zionists and people like Christian Zionists as well, who are duped into supporting this nonsense.
Well, of course, Ben Shapiro's loyalties lie to Israel. And, you know, I think this whole thing where Trump is going to be nominated, and it's going to be given the left, it's going to be given, there's going to be a lot of leeway given to crack down on the pro-Palestinian left, these college protesters, you know, the protests, the genocide of the Palestinians. I think you're going to see a crackdown under Trump, and there's going to be some leeway given there. Of course, Ben Shapiro's, you know, we know where his loyalties lie. I'm trying to bring out, like, why does these two Jewish talking heads, you know, why does Ben Shapiro support Trump now? He was the, you know, ground zero in anti-Trump. And to give credit where credit's due, you know, this debate would not have been on my radar had it not been for listening to Warren Baylog and Eric Stryker on War Strike. They put this debate on my radar and made me, get into it and listen to it and analyze it and feature these clips. So I'm trying to bring out, like, why does this aspect of Jewish power represented by Ben Shapiro, why do they support Trump now, you know, when they were never Trumpers before? That's what I'm bringing out here.
When did Shapiro become a Trump supporter?
I think in the last, like, year.
I think it was well before that.
I was going to say,
I don't really follow Ben Shapiro, but I think it was while Trump was president. He was an anti-Trumper, a never Trumper in 2016. But I think during the first term, he became pro Trump, for what it's worth.
And why was that? When did the Golan Heights deal get done?
That got done. Was that 2019? I think it was 2019.
Yeah, I mean, so those types of things are going to make very pro Trump.
What is this? What does this say about, you know, Trump's current campaign? And, you know, why are these Jews like Ben Shapiro supporting him? That's what I'm bringing about. And I've got another clip from Ben. It would be the third clip, Julie. If you want to run that, we'll respond to that and then do some election stuff. The third clip from Ben Shapiro, if you would, Julie.
As you can read there, there are a number of things that I assumed his presidency would be. And in 2015, 2016, he was, to be fair to me, incredibly unclear about what exactly his policies would be. He was all over the map. And then he was president. And then I could base my next vote on what he would be like as president, because he actually was president. So, for example, you mentioned, I say that he was anti-free markets. Obviously, he wasn't as president of the United States. That he would be anti-religious liberty. He obviously wasn't as president of the United States. He appointed justices to the Supreme Court, who I generally thought were quite good, right, which is something that I doubted in that column. And so all you could do is sort of base your forecast for the future on past performance. There was no past performance. There was just the stuff that he had said at that point in the campaign. I can now base my future exposition, my future sort of judgment of what Trump's second term will be like on a first term, because he's already been president of the United States. And so one of the big questions that I have for folks who sort of see Donald Trump as this Hitlerian, Mussolini-esque figure is, if that's true, then why didn't we see that in term one? He tried to do many things. Mm-hmm. Those things were generally unsuccessful in terms of, you know, his excesses. And so the sort of question that I have that people, you know, keep bringing up, they'll say, well, he'll try to do the same thing in 2028 that he did in 2020. And the question I have is, what evidence do we have that he would attempt to stick around for, say, a third term? Is that, like, a real worry that people have? When people say that he's going to overrun the constitutional barriers, he may have attempted to do that, and then he was checked at every point. Whereas I think that actually the system is less built to stop, I would say, the sort of fine-grained excesses of the Democratic Party that is intent on actually changing many of the systems and changing the status of normalcy. So, for example, Kamala Harris has vowed to get rid of the filibuster. If you get rid of the filibuster, that means that you can presumably add two states. That challenges the Senate balance permanently. She's talked about packing the Supreme Court. She's talked about wealth taxes. She's talked about passing into law certain federal legislation that she could do with 51 votes that Donald Trump has never talked about. In fact, if you look at sort of the spectrum of political opinion right now, Donald Trump positionally is closer to the middle on many of these issues than Kamala Harris is, which is one of the weirdnesses of this election.
So one thing that I want to bring to light here is that Shapiro is basically saying that, again, you know, Trump says this rhetoric, but at the end of the day, he can be controlled by the system. And that's why Ben Shapiro is supporting him, because, you know, overall, I think that the analysis is that he's better for the Jews. This is an interesting conversation. Again, credit to Warren Baylog and Eric Stryker on Warstrike for bringing this to my attention. But this is an honest conversation between two Jews, you know, as to, you know, what Trump is and is he better for the Jews or worse? And it's the type of conversation that we would have, the three of us, you know, in honesty, you know, about Trump. They're having this conversation and we're being privy to it because it's published on this particular platform. So, gentlemen, Patrick Slattery, your thoughts, first of all, and then kick it to Paul.
Okay. Like I always say, the Jewish power structure, it's not centralized, it's decentralized. And so not everybody's reading from the same script. Somebody like Sam Harris can arrive at his conclusion to support Chlamydia Harris, and Ben Shapiro can change his mind about Trump based on their own understandings. But of course, their own understandings, their own calculus, is heavily influenced by what they think is good for the Jews. Now, you listen to this, and neither one of them is talking about what's good for the Jews. Sometimes you hear that. Sometimes Brett Stevens from the New York Times was on a couple of years ago, he was on some format where I don't remember exactly what they were debating. Maybe it was democracy, and it was democracy is good for the Jews. And they were at some Jewish forum, and they were actually discussing it in terms of what's good for the Jews. This between Barry Weiss, moderated by Barry Weiss, the debate between Ben Shapiro and Sam Harris, I guess it's intended for the goyim. It's intended for everybody. And so they're not, so Ben Shapiro isn't talking about what's good for the Jews. He's saying, oh, well, this will be, Trump will be good for religious freedom. I didn't know if he would be good for religious freedom. He's good for religious freedom. I didn't know if he would be good for for markets. He's pro-market. I didn't think it'd be pro-market. So he's talking about other things. But, you know, what was his calculus? I think his calculus, what made him change his mind was during the first term that he could see that Trump could be restrained, Trump could be corralled, that he could be controlled the way you control an opponent when you're in some sort of contest with him. You know, if you can control a bucking bronco, he's still bucking. He doesn't necessarily want to be under you. I think Jews realize, some Jews, and people like Ben Shapiro realized that Trump, he could be prevented from implementing the policies that they most feared. And there are some who, from the very get-go, not Ben Shapiro from the very get-go, but people like Mnuchin, who was the Treasury Secretary, some from the very get-go said, oh, hey, if you can't beat him, join him and usurp him. You know, so, you know, there's two ways to join somebody. You can join somebody and follow them, or you can join somebody and lead them. And there were some Jews who early on joined Trump in order to lead him, and they had some success. And then I think, so that's part one. And then part two is really, you know, it's not that everything happened all at once, but I think there was early this year, maybe around February or so, when Trump, he was already pretty much established that he was going to be the Republican nominee, and then he would be up against Joe Biden, is what it looked like at the time. And he pretty much came to an agreement with Sheldon Adelson's widow, Miriam, and what's the guy's name? Ackerman, what's his name? Some big money Jews, that he would take their big money, and he got a kosher certification. And so... And Ben Shapiro mentioned taking Trump to some event that honored Rabbi Schneerson. And Ben Shapiro talks really fast. He's a fast-talking, rat-talking Jew. I don't usually use the term rat with Jews, but I mean, you look at Ben Shapiro, and really. But and that might have gone over a lot of people's head, but this Rabbi Schneerson is somebody who is thought by the Chabad Lubavitchers to be the Messiah. And this is a really weird thing for Donald Trump, a goy, to be going to some event honoring Rabbi Schneerson. But of course, Rabbi Schneerson's been honored by all of Congress, and there's actually a day every year called Education Day that's in his honor. So I'll try to wrap it up. I think that you had some Jews who early on saw that you could join Trump and lead him, And this is kind of what David Duke was referring to in the last hour, is lead the opposition. And then I think later on, more Jews have realized that, you know, he could be bribed, not just tricked, but he could be not just corralled, but he could be led with incentives, right? So not just being corralled. That's the first way you control somebody, is to corral them. They're still bucking. They're still resisting. But there's a lot of things Trump's not resisting anymore. And so there you go. And he's going to be back in the White House. It looks almost entirely clear. Maybe Kamala's going to do a concession speech, because it looks like she's losing 6, if not all 7, of the swing states. It's not going to be close enough to do shenanigans. I mean, there are some bases for doing shenanigans, for lawsuits and this and that. But if she loses all, if people wake up tomorrow and she's lost all 7 swing states, she might just throw in the towel. So, yeah.
All right.
Well, I kick it back to you.
Paul Stevenson.
Yeah, I mean, again, like Patrick said, you have both those guys here. They're not talking about Jewish interests, but maybe it's because we know who these people are, and we know what their, you know, interests are always about Jews in one way or another. And this, you know, when you have these two guys going at it, what there's a meta dialogue going on. This is basically a squabble within juries, and as to what and who they think is best for their interests. Now, on the surface of it, Ben Shapiro defending his choice of Trump. Okay, you know, it's like, sounds reasonable enough. Not everything Ben Shapiro says sounds ridiculous. He's a pretty astute kind of guy. So what he says, from why he decided to support Trump, you know, is very coherent. But has he ever been this involved with Trump? I mean, why? Is it any coincidence that you have Israel in the state that it's in right now, and this guy's campaigning aggressively with Trump? I don't think it's a coincidence. He also knows that in the experience of Donald Trump as president last time, he was very favorable to Israel, and it's no surprise that, you know, the Israelis are on record and the regime over there are on record to say they favor Trump. I mean, I don't know specifically what religious sect he's from, but I would say it's not that far away from the Smotriches and the Ben-Gavirs of this world, if I'm correct. Do you know anything about that? Do you guys know if he would be in line with those guys?
Rabbi Schneerson, that's Chabad Lubavitch. So I don't know if Ben Shapiro is officially Chabad Lubavitch. I mean, the thing is, he doesn't grow his beard out, and real Chabad Lubavitchers grow their beard out. But real Chabad Lubavitch reaches out to all Jews. They do reach out to all Jews, and even if they're not going to be like formal parts of the formal members of the movement, they reach out to them to be friendly. That, you know, and so I don't know. I don't think he's a formal Chabad Lubavitcher because he hasn't grown his beard out. But he's but he has some sort of, I guess he's what you call a modern Orthodox. And I guess Ben Gavir, does he have a beard out? I don't know. But
I don't think he does. I don't think Smotrich has a big beard either.
So they might be modern Orthodox, and a lot of the modern Orthodox can be more radical in a lot of ways than the some of the ultra-Orthodox who are less materialistic, less worldly.
They all wear those little skull caps. If you look at Benjamin Netanyahu, it's like, even when he hasn't got a skull cap on, it's like the shape of his head's got a skull cap on. It's quite interesting. It's you have to take a second look. Is that a skull cap, or is that just the shape of his head? You know?
There's this guy in Congress named Jamie Raskin. And Jamie Raskin, I always thought he was wearing a skull cap, but then I got a better view once, and no, that's just his bald spot, and it's the way his head is shaped. But okay, so Ben Shapiro, that's him. Sam Harris is a big time atheist, right? I mean, that's his whole shtick. That's how he got famous, was by being an atheist, and people didn't even know he was a Jew. Harris is often a Jewish name, but it's not necessarily a Jewish name. And then Barry Weiss belonged to the synagogue in Pennsylvania that got shot up. She's from there. And that was not an Orthodox synagogue. That is actually a Reform synagogue. So, yeah. So that's where she comes from.
And the synagogues are full of atheists, aren't they? Really?
Yeah, but the synagogues are full of, they're off. I mean, there's often a lot of atheists. At least in like Reform. Maybe not so much in Orthodox, but in Reform.
Yeah, in Reform circles, yeah. It's kind of strange, you know, to have an atheist to go to.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap. That's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar is tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
They're off. I mean, there's often a lot of atheists.
But
at least in like Reform, maybe not so much in Orthodox, but in Reform.
In Reform circles, yeah. It's kind of strange, you know, to have an atheist to go to church at all, to go to your church, but to go to any kind of religious building, Reformed or otherwise, you know. It's most Reformed Christians, I mean, they're very liberal, but they somehow try and convince themselves that they're Christians, even though they don't believe in the basic tenets of Christianity, but they still believe in God. I mean, there's no one in there that's going to tell you they're an atheist, you know.
how about Unitarians? I don't know about Unitarians in Britain, but I think Unitarians in America, that's, I don't know.
Even the liberals over here, they still believe in Jesus.
I mean, Isaac
Newton was a Unitarian, and he was also like a religious fanatic. But I went to a Ralph Nader fundraiser in a Unitarian church. I actually helped organize it. This is 20 years ago, and it was pretty atheist. It had a very atheist vibe to it.
No,
the last clip from Sam about 3 minutes. Let's feature that.
Well, as Ben said himself, he was checked by people around him, right? And the concern now is that he would have not General Milley and McRaven and McMaster and John Kelly and serious people like that. He'd have My Pillow Guy and Mike Flynn and a rogues gallery of enablers and sycophants and loyalists, right? I mean, that really is the concern, and that's why I think Ben can't draw the lessons he's drawing from the first term and broadcast them onto the second, right? I mean, we know what Trump says he wants to do, and he wants to do crazy things, like in turn something like 12 million illegal aliens in something like concentration camps and deport them, right? And if you picture what this would do to our society,
difficult.
It's just a moral abomination, right? I mean, just to take this narrow case, I mean, maybe we want to talk about immigration and the southern border, and about which I think Ben and I are going to largely agree. But I'm pretty sure I don't want to live in a country where millions of children who are American citizens, right, who have one or more parent who isn't a citizen, watch their parents get deported, right? If you just imagine what that would look like. Now, you might think, well, Trump's never going to do that, right? You're going to grade him on a curve, and you're going to take him seriously but not literally, et cetera. But you could do the same thing with Kamala Harris. When Kamala Harris says she wants to do a wealth tax, we all know that she's not going to be able to do that. She's certainly not going to be able to do that if she doesn't have a House and a Senate and a Supreme Court, which she seems to be likely to have none of those things at this point if she wins. But no, you know, so take her seriously but not literally, right? I mean, there's a double standard here in the way partisans think about partisans for Trump think about what he says and bracket everything he says as just political theater. But I want to come back to something you said to Ben. Just, I mean, you know, all of his words at this point on this topic could be used against him, right? And this change of heart, I think, is worth examining, because I think we lose sight of just how not normal Trump is as a candidate. I mean, I think, Ben, if I had told you 10 years ago that you would one day support a presidential candidate who bragged about owning a teen beauty pageant so that he could barge into the dressing room and ogle naked underage girls, right? I don't think you would believe me, right? If I had told you that you would support a candidate who, as president, had been denounced by almost every four-star general who worked under him as a dangerous moron, right? I don't think you would believe me. Or a president who had inspired an assault on our Capitol, directly inspired it. I mean, as much as you want to parse what he might have said in that initial speech, there's no question he called everyone to D.C. and inspired what amounted to be a riot on the Capitol. And he inspired this. I mean, we had people wearing Camp Auschwitz T-shirts and flying a Confederate flag, smearing shit on the walls that Abraham Lincoln built, right? That's what happened on January 6th. And if I told you that you would support this guy and still support him, a guy who has honored these people, right, who stood by as they were calling for the hanging of his vice president, he just stood by tweeting narcissistic bullshit, and he would later record a song with some of the worst offenders, right? There's 20 of them in prison singing on jailhouse telephones. He recorded his own track on this song, and he plays it at his rallies, right? If I told you you would support such a person, you, Ben, right, you with your commitment to morality, right, and religious principles, and public probity and ethics, I don't think you would believe me. But that's where we are, right? That's how fully Trump has distorted our politics.
In my opinion, there you have less of a meta dialogue. And it's getting closer to the surface. You ban with your morality, what he really said, you ban with a Jew. You ban or a Jew, and you should remember it. You know, 12 million, was it 12 million illegal? I mean, we had all this the first time he was, you know, sorry to just butt in here, but it's just like that is much more closer to the surface of one Jew appealing to another. It's so clear just what's in our interest in that particular conversation. This guy sees Trump as a threat, or anyone like him as a threat to Jews and their safety or whatever. These people are paranoid and crazy and sick of them, you know? It's just like they wreck everything.
You notice that Sam Harris said, talking about January 6th, that these people were wearing Camp Auschwitz T-shirts.
And the Confederate flag mentioned.
I mean, there was easily 300,000 people there. I don't know how many hundred. Some people say it was 500,000. I don't know. I was there, and I didn't see anybody wearing a Camp Auschwitz T-shirt. I saw a lot of people wearing heavy overcoats because it was cold. It was really cold that day. So, the idea people were wearing Camp Auschwitz T-shirts. I mean, how many people? Maybe was one person wearing one? Was zero people wearing any? I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a retarded thing to say. And then people were smearing feces on the wall that Abraham Lincoln broke. I never heard anything about smearing feces. So, I mean, his characterization of he believes this stuff because I have the feeling he's a Kool-Aid drinker. I think a lot of people drink their various flavors of Kool-Aid, but he might believe this stuff, but it's fantasy. I mean, there are 300,000 people there, and they're...
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by MyNutra. Why is hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy Hemp Paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Because I have the feeling he's a Kool-Aid drinker. I think a lot of people drink their various flavors of Kool-Aid. But he might believe this stuff, but it's fantasy. I mean, that's, there are 300,000 people there, and there were maybe a few dozen in militias that were all infiltrated and even led by feds or, you know, federal informants or people with connections to the so-called deep state, to the intelligence services, who thought they were going to overthrow the government. If you're talking about a few dozen out of 300,000, you're talking about far less than 0.1%. I mean, so well over 99.9% of the people there did not think they were going to overthrow the government. They were there as protesting what they thought was a rigged election, and it was a rigged election. They were correct. And as far as I can tell, everybody who entered the Capitol from the west side close to the Washington Monument, they all went through doors opened by police. It was only on the east side, the side facing the Supreme Court, where people entered through broken windows, and these were the weird militia people. And
he talks about four-star general saying that Trump's dangerous. Wasn't it the Biden administration that was provoking and continues to provoke Russia? I mean, they talked about dangers, a nuclear power in Russia. They basically, you know, killed over 500,000 Ukrainians, and they've got all sorts of NATO troops on the ground in there and, you know, provoking Russia. And he calls Donald Trump dangerous. I mean, say what you want about Trump, when he came in his administration, there was no wars, you know, and all this stuff about deporting 12 million and their children and everything else. I mean, again, it just speaks to Jewish interest. Yeah. They love immigration. They have to keep pumping this idea. We have to be kind. We need to, you know, have as many, you know, as much as a multicultural society as we can. You can never have borders. It's always an emotional argument. These poor children, never mind that their parents entered the country illegally. And anyway, Trump did nothing back in 2016. And like you said, you know, Trump, this is a more moderate version of Trump. I think you said something like Trumpism's not there. You're just going to get Trump. There's not a chance in a million years if Trump was president that he's going to deport even close to 12,000, never mind 12 million.
And he's actually not even talking about it anymore. What he's saying is that he's going to deport criminal illegal aliens. So he's talking he keeps talking about murderers and rapists and violent people. Well, when you actually parse it out, I mean, most of the people who are walking across the border aren't murderers. Most of them are like, you know, women with children. And I mean, there are a lot of men. It's probably disproportionately men. But it's not as if the majority are murderers. And so by emphasizing that you're going to, and Vance in his debate, his vice presidential debate, when he was asked about mass deportation, he says, look, you start with, these criminals. Okay, well, what you're getting, what it really means is that if a nice person walks across the border, or just a non-criminal, just an average person walks across the border illegally, well, they get to stay because they're not the criminals.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And so he is no longer talking about by emphasizing the criminality and that they're going to deport criminals. It actually allows them not to deport the massive, the vast bulk of the people.
And this is the thing. It'll be like Nigel Farage over here. If Nigel Farage came into the Conservative Party or became the leader of this country, became the Prime Minister, well, more fool you if you think that you're voting for Nigel Farage, who he himself has done a bit of a Donald Trump recently. He's sort of toned it down. He's kind of watered the whole thing down for the sake of, you know, having representation. If anybody seriously thinks that Donald Trump is going to get rid of all these illegal aliens who've destroyed their neighborhoods, well, they're going to be very disappointed.
Yeah, and you remember Sam Harris said four-star generals, all the four-star generals who are saying Trump's in danger. Well, four-star generals, is there a single four-star general who isn't what type of expletive should I use? I mean, in order to become a general, even a one-star general, you have to have Senate confirmation, which is kosher certification. They're not
exactly.
It's not a wonder that these people that we hear on podcasts like Judge Napolitano's, you know, the Here Comes the Judge show, it's Colonel McGregor. It's Colonel Larry Wilkerson. It's Colonel Daniel Davis or whatever his name is. They're colonels because anybody who's any decent is not going to get a star, let alone four stars. The four-star people are the absolute worst. You're talking about Petraeus Stanley Crystal and Milley. These are a bunch of faggots.
Those are the swamp creatures that Trump was talking about getting rid of.
Exactly. And they betrayed him. And he would give orders to withdraw from Afghanistan or withdraw from Syria. And they, what do you call it when you disobey orders? It's insubordination. There was mass insubordination. They just wouldn't follow the orders.
And he should have fired him. Didn't he have a show where he fires people like on television for like 8 years or something?
That was the whole catch line. And the thing is, on the one hand, he could have done better. On the other hand, the job is way harder than most people out in radio land are aware of. I mean, I run small organizations, and even in a small organization, to make sure somebody does something that you tell them, you know, because you've got your own stuff to do. And then you find out that you told somebody to do something a month ago, and they never did it.
Then they killed them.
You fire them? Well, maybe they're the, maybe they're the chairman of the board's sister-in-law. Can you fire her? So it's like that. And for Trump to run the biggest, well, maybe the second biggest organization on earth, I guess the biggest might be the Chinese government, but it's tough. And he didn't have the skills, and he didn't have the right people.
I was going to say, I mean, the CIA would have killed the man if he'd have done what he really wanted to do, if he decided to do what the people who voted him in there wanted to do. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind they'd have killed him.
Yeah. Well, Jeremy, are you still there?
Yeah, where do we stand on the election and who's winning, if that matters?
Oh, Trump's winning.
230 to 185 at this stage.
So do we expect riots in the streets?
I just think you'll probably get more of the same as the last time. You'll get some of these social justice warriors going crazy, and you'll, you know, it's just hysteria, probably to an extent, and then it'll calm down and just sort of. And by the way, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what Trump does to you. I mean, you know, he's a very lucky man. I said before, I think, you know, notwithstanding what we just said and what he's up against, but I said before, I think if someone has one term, they don't deserve a second term, you know, in terms of like not winning. But then, you know, there's a good argument, obviously, that they that last election was rigged anyway. He probably would have got a second term, but it'll be interesting to see what he does. I mean, his campaign is like we've said, or like Patrick was saying, you know, he's moved. How did you put it? You've got Trump without Trumpism.
Right. They were Trumpism without Trump. They through Ron DeSantis, they could get it, but now they've got Trump without Trumpism.
Is it more like Ronald Reagan with an eagle? Is he like Ronald Reagan with an eagle right now? Is he really in some kind of way? Is that the game he's playing? It seems to me that's kind of where he's trying to aim for, and maybe that's resonating. Apparently, he's doing very well with younger voters. He's doing very well with particularly ethnic minority younger voters and the Latinos. Because there's been a lot of those people, whether they've come to the country legally or otherwise, they look at someone like Trump and they say, I want the money like Trump. I want the American dream. I don't want this miserable welfare, warfare sort of woke stuff. And they come from like the South America. They're very strong in their families down there and their religion. And they come up for prosperity. You know, as much as a lot of them will maybe come up for like the, you know, the welfare check, there's a lot of them want the American dream. And you got Trump up there and Trump Tower with his blonde hair and his, you know, white teeth. And, you know, he kind of is like a throwback, you know. So maybe he's hit that kind of Reagan thing, and the rest of them, they're indifferent to all the way he talks and his brash talk, or they actually like the fact that he sort of speaks his mind. You know, he doesn't mess around. I mean, when you couldn't get more opposite between word salad Harris and Trump, the way they talk, and people can relate to Trump in a way they can't relate to. You know, I don't. Can anybody relate to Kamala Harris? I don't know if anybody can. You know, who is that woman? Does she know? You know, I think Trump has got a wider appeal to people because people can relate to him. And I think that's a skill he has, you know. He can talk a lot of crap. He can go anywhere. You know, he can be the most staunch supporter of Benjamin Netanyahu, and then he can go up to Michigan and turn on the charm for the Arabs up in Michigan, and they believe him.
Yeah, yeah. And at this point, he's ahead in Michigan. He's ahead in Pennsylvania. I think he's ahead in all these states.
Trump just got something that you need, man. It's like if you know, charisma goes a long way. It really does.
Yeah. He does have charisma. So, you mentioned, you know, blacks and Latinos and whatnot. And so with Trump, you have kind of cult-like followers. And then you have, I guess, what you could call cult-like opponents. And the cult-like opponents, you know, maybe black women and all, but it's a lot of liberal whites because this is how you virtue signal is by opposing Trump. If you're white,
like women, right? And middle-aged women and women who want abortion.
And then these like black men and Hispanics and whatnot, they're not in either cult. And maybe they voted against Trump the last couple of elections because, you know, that's was their custom, but they're not. You know, like, especially the Hispanics, you know, Harris, I don't know. So I think he's probably, there's less hostility to him from some of these groups. But if you go to, I've been to a bunch of Trump rallies. In fact, I wanted to give Trump a chance to make his case to me. And I went up to Pennsylvania and I went to that rally last night that he had, the last one. And it was, like all the others, entirely white. It was all white people. And I was there, and you know, I'm sitting there, and it was like an hour or two before he showed up. And Mike Pompeo appeared. And I almost had a stroke. I got up, and I started screaming, traitor, and all this stuff at Mike Pompeo. People around me started clapping. They were, I mean, not clapping, but like giving me thumbs up and stuff like that. And there were some other people who were also like in other parts of the arena. This is a giant hockey arena, and other people were. Mike Pompeo got a bad reception, and then he introduced the guy who was running for Senate there, who sounded like a kid. I hope he loses. And then so I was fuming, and I thought I came all the way up here. I was in my car all day, come all the way up here, and Mike Pompeo, really, really, Mike Pompeo. And Mike Pompeo said, I was
you know, the New York Times said I was Trump's most loyal cabinet member. And I just got up and I screamed, bullshit. Like half the place could hear me. So I was like, okay, this is it. I mean, there's no way I can vote for this guy. Well, then Tulsi Gabbard came in, and you know, I got a thing for Tulsi Gabbard, and Tulsi Gabbard kind of calmed me down, and she was
your little capricious little just little Tulsi comes on and we lose Piper.
She's a crumpet. but she was talking about peace and the thing is. She was featured very prominently, so she is extremely prominent now, and it seems like she's going to get a cabinet position. Should be Secretary of Defense. I think it's going to be Secretary of Defense. I had endorsed Jill Stein, and I was going to vote for Jill Stein, and I met Jill Stein. I met her like a week ago, and told her I was going to vote for her. And Jill Stein was better than Tulsi. I mean, she really is better than Tulsi. But Jill Stein's not going to be in the government, and Tulsi looks like she's going to be Secretary of Defense. And so I just thought, what the hell? You know, Kevin McDonald, he made his case in that debate, and some of what he said was incorrect. But you know, Kevin McDonald's sharp, and then Mark Collett off air was. That's why I went up. I went up because Kevin McDonald and Mark Collett were saying. Making the case for Trump, and I said, okay, well, I'll let Trump make the case for Trump. And so then Trump came on, and Trump, I thought, okay, well, Pompeo was there to introduce this Senate guy, this weird Senate guy, who I know, I'm not going to start talking about him now, but he's bad news. And I thought, okay, well, I won't blame that on Trump. He might not even, he's probably not drawing up the guest list. But then Trump actually, while he was speaking, and Trump wasn't bad, he was just being his... you know, his regular self. But then he gave a little shout out to Mike Pompeo, and I thought, well, that does it. But then he started talking about Tulsi and how she's got common sense and how she's going to be a big deal. And then he was also talking about Robert Kennedy. He's going to be in the administration. He just wants to keep him away from energy policy because Trump wants to drill, baby, drill, and Kennedy's opposed to it. And I thought, well, I'm just, what the hell? I'm just going to. So I voted for Trump today. I wasn't going to, but I voted for him because I'm in a swing state, and I had been thinking it wouldn't even matter, like even North Carolina wouldn't matter. But anyway, so I thought, okay, I'm not really voting for Trump for president. I'm voting for Tulsi Gabbard for Secretary of Defense. And even she, I mean, I don't know. It'll probably all fall apart. I'll probably regret this. But what the hell? It happened. What happened, happened. So
It was all much more exciting in 2016. I remember exactly 8 years ago. And earlier in the summer, there was Brexit. There was so much enthusiasm. It was all very cool back then at that time. And now it's kind of like, ironically, if you ask me, I mean, it's still pretty charged, but Trump's not the Trump of 2016. And maybe, I don't know if that's it. Maybe it's a good thing. We'll see what he does. I mean, you know, I mean, you will know them by their fruits, as the Lord said, you know. I mean, we can say a lot of things, but, you know, ultimately you'll be judged on what you do, really, you know. It's like in your life, in your own personal life, or whatever else. I mean, you can say all sorts of things, but... It's your, you know, it's what you do when he's got a second bite at the cherry, and let's hope that he can bring an end to that war in Ukraine for a start before any more young Ukrainians are slaughtered, and Russians, and really, you know, he needs to put Netanyahu in his place. I don't hold out much hope for that. And of course, Netanyahu sacked Gallant today as well.
Did he?
Yeah, he sacked Gallant. He's gone now. So
okay, is that an act of desperation? What do you think? Is that a sign that things are falling apart?
Well, it's not good, is it? You're in the middle of a war. You're talking all tough talk and everything else, and then you know, you have this division, you know, between the prime minister and your defense secretary,
yeah.
Whatever he is, and you know, there's some pretty, you know, public negative talk on both sides. There's no love lost between the pair of them. And then you've got this other attack that's imminent. You know, maybe it's even tonight. I don't know. I mean, apparently they were going to wait until after the Iranians were going to wait until after the election, so they couldn't be accused of influencing the election. But I think they're preparing just to batter Israel in a way that we haven't seen before. So I won't be losing any sleep over it if it's an unprecedented attack. Let's put it that way. When you consider the amount of innocent people and civilians that they've killed, you know, it might be time where the Iranians take the gloves off, and there might be a few, you know, a few more civilian deaths on the Israeli side, and see if they like them apples, because the Israelis live in relative peace with the, and no more than the annoyance of kind of, you know, the odd rocket up until recently coming in. But, you know, next door to them, they're just slaughtering people, innocent people, you know? And so, anyway, Iran's, on, I think they're definitely planning an attack on Israel in response to that last attack. So it's going to be interesting to see that happens. And then, of course, it's going to be interesting to see what Trump does in response to that, you know?
Yeah, well, and the thing is, Trump's not going to be president for another 2.5 months. And so a lot can happen in the meantime.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, there's no doubt about it that Hezbollah, the Houthis, the Iraqi resistance, they're all piling on now. You know, they're under constant attack now in Israel.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with
whole, not fractionated, not standardized, not adulterated, but pure and nature-made for excellent digestion, absorption, utilization, and elimination. Colorado Shilajit is raw, whole, unadulterated, and alive. Pre-processed Shilajit, imported from Himalayas, Russia, China, Pakistan, are most often cooked, boiled, smoked, and if it's legit, definitely beneficial, but maybe not truly whole. Only raw Shilajit provides the perfect balance of humic and fulvic acids with a complete essential mineral spectrum that is required to effectively energize cells and remove toxic metals, forever chemicals, synthetic hormones, pesticides, herbicides, and more. Pure raw Shilajit. Legit Shilajit. Colorado Shilajit.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org. Watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You can all. Maha go go, maha go go, maha go go go.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. You know, there's no doubt about it that Hezbollah, the Houthis, the Iraqi resistance, they're all piling on now. You know, they're under constant attack now in Israel, in one way or another. And now Iran's, you know, you're having this direct threat and this direct attack from Iran, which Israel brought on themselves, which was a kind of a taboo up until recently. I don't think they want any of that smoke, really. They think they do. I mean, I don't know what these people are thinking.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm looking at the NewYorkTimes.com, which has been reasonably accurate on things like this. And they've got right now Trump with a 90% chance of victory.
That's right.
And winning 301 electoral votes to Harris's 237. And so the thing is, what I had been saying was very likely, and what Jeremy, was likely of having weeks of shenanigans and unrest and everything. If the Electoral College vote is that much different, I'm not saying it's impossible. I mean, this would be pretty similar to the 8 years ago, and there still were shenanigans back then with faithless electors and whatnot, and court challenges. But I don't know.
At the minute, it's 2:30 to 2:05. Trump has to get to 270.
Yeah, and out of the states that remain, he's ahead. Well, California's already been called for Harris, and that everybody knew that was going to happen. So Trump
is Pennsylvania another, gone.
Yeah, Trump, Pennsylvania has not been called, but in Pennsylvania, Trump is up by 4 percentage points, and there's only 87% of the votes have been counted, and that's
Wisconsin.
The one.
What about Wisconsin? And
New York Times says he's got a 74% chance of winning Pennsylvania, and for Wisconsin, New York Times says he's ahead in Wisconsin. He's got a 73% chance of winning Wisconsin, and Harris would have to win all of these. And then in Michigan, Trump's up in Michigan. New York Times says Trump's got a 66% chance of winning Michigan, and Harris has to win them all, and she's not going to. It's just doesn't look to be in the bag for her. So, and I don't think they can just pretend that there is a flood and get everybody to leave and pull out a bunch of ballots. The avenues for fakery don't exist like they did 4 years ago. 4 years ago, with the COVID stuff, they could use social distancing to do all sorts of things. There's a lot less mail-in ballots now this year than there were 4 years ago. And
will there be less dead people voting for the Democrats this year, I wonder?
I mean, there will be some. I'm absolutely convinced that there's a lot of irregularities. I saw some myself today, but we don't have time to go into it. Jeremy, you still here? I guess not. But it's
Jeremy. Late.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess we're getting close to signing off, and we want a special thanks to Julie for letting us extend this by an hour.
Yeah, thank you, Paul and Patrick, for providing coverage on this election day. And you guys stay classy if you can.
Yeah, good.
Thank
you, Jeff.
Mike Gatti, the rebel madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, dixierepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.